Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Do the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remigliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remigliotis here after a 5-1 Blackhawks victory over the LA Kings. And let's waste no time. We got our postgame guest going downstairs, Teuvo Teravainen, who had two assists in this game to extend his point streak to five games. Teuvo, how would you describe this 5-1 win over LA tonight?
Thanks. Good win. Good team effort. Neither played awesome. It was fun to see him play well, and just overall good team effort.
Teuvo, after the first 20 minutes, it wasn't the best first period for you guys, but you guys held your own on the scoreboard there. What was said, or what was the difference moving into the second and third periods where you seemed to take this game away from the Kings?
Not too much. We realized that just got to play a little bit smarter. Just normal hockey. Trying a little bit too much sometimes, make some hard plays. It's not going to work a lot of times, so... they're a good team. They make you pay if you're not smart out there.
Teuvo, how would you describe the performance by Spencer Knight tonight? 41 saves, and he did so less than 48 hours before finding out that he was being traded to Chicago.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure a lot of emotions going through a trade. Come back here, just meet all the guys, and right on it, right in the game. So I feel like he looked really good. I'm sure he felt good too.
Your line mates and yourself are just lighting up right now, and an excellent job by you guys. And I know they've tinkered the lines a couple different ways, but they're keeping you, Ryan, and Mikheyev together here in the last couple, and boy, it's really worked out. What has been the difference for you guys in having so much success here as of late?
I feel like me and Mickey, we've been playing together a long time now, so I feel like we fit pretty good each other. There's been Dickey and Fliggy and now Donnie. I feel like with all those guys, it's been working pretty good. So it's pretty simple hockey. I feel like I try to find Mickey. He's flying somewhere and he's going to carry the puck in and I'm going to get open. So it's been working well.
How do you utilize his speed on that line? Because you just mentioned it. I mean, he's flying around the ice. He's got so much speed. He's got a great shot. What's kind of the game plan when you guys are out there to use that speed?
Yeah, you got to realize when you have time, especially if I get the puck somewhere, I'll just try to find him. He knows I'm looking for him, so he's trying to get his speed going and just read off each other. It's pretty good.
What can you say specifically about the season that Ryan Donato has had this year and just what he's meant to the locker room on and off the ice?
Yeah, he's been awesome. Just all over the ice, I feel like he plays strong. He plays the right way, so... And his stick is hot. He likes to shoot it, and a lot of times it goes in. So if that stick is hot, you should shoot every time.
You know, you lose a big presence in Seth Jones inside the locker room. How is important? I mean, you're in that group as well. You're 30 years of age. You've won a Stanley Cup. You know what it takes to be a winner. How important is it for you guys now to step up and fill that role inside the room?
Yeah, of course. Big leader. He's a great player. I'm happy for him. Florida is going to be even better now, I'm sure. Jones is a great player. But now there's going to be a lot of chances for the young guys to step in and get that big ice time there. So looking forward to see who's going to step in.
Teuvo, thanks so much for doing this. Congrats on the win, and go get three in a row on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right. That is Teuvo Teravainen. Appreciate that. Joining us right off the top of this Blackhawks postgame show, knocking off the LA Kings 5-1. I'm looking at the stat sheet here. Unofficially, Spencer Knight was named the first, second, and third star of the game. Unofficially.
On the sheet there.
Unofficially.
Yeah, well, he was good. Boy, I'll tell you what. You know, one shot on goal that got past him, and that was basically a breakaway by Kopitar right down the middle of the ice, and Kopitar has always been one of the best players in the NHL. He can shoot, he can score, he can check. He's a Selke Trophy winner. And that's the only one that got by him. And he was spectacular. I mean, I don't know much about goaltending, and I can't critique it. But I know what I saw there. And he was calm. He was composed. There wasn't extra motions there. He looked solid as far as his movement from one side of the net to the other. He was square to the shots, not many rebounds. And when there were rebounds, he directed them into areas of non-trouble. And I just really impressed. And the way that he handled the puck, too, several times there, he made some excellent plays. And that's going to take some pressure off the defense to go back there. And I'm not saying that Peter Mrazek and Soderblom don't play the puck well, but you can see that there was a little bit of a different level there and the confidence that he has to go out and make those plays. And, you know, the one play that he did, you know, down to our left in the second period, I guess it was, when he waited, he drew the forechecker to come in on him. And as soon as he got close, he banked it behind him. He knew he had the defenseman in the corner there, but he drew that player into him. So now he's a non-factor, and you have an opportunity to break the puck out behind him.
This sounds silly to say, too, but on the delayed penalties for the Blackhawks where Spencer Knight darts to the Blackhawks bench, he literally sprinted every single time, and he literally looked like a forward skating to the bench. That's how technically sound, like we were talking about how technically sound he is positionally in net, but it just looks like he's a very smooth skater for a goaltender, and for him to marry the two where he's structurally sound in his net, great stick handler, great skater. He has all the tools to be a really high-end upside goaltender for Chicago.
Well, that's the one thing that they talked about, after the trade, because, you know, he's down in Florida. In some ways, he's just, you know, hiding behind the curtains because you've got Bobrovsky down there as the main guy that won him the cup last year, basically, and then, you know, he'd be the number one guy moving forward. But when you talk to anybody around the league, they say that under 25, he is the, you know, maybe the best goaltender out there. And boy, we saw a strong performance by him tonight. And if that's any indication of what he's capable of, that's just going to be amazing. And Kyle Davidson, to get the job done, to get a guy like this who is going to be the future core of the goaltending situation for many years here for the Blackhawks, very impressive. You get a first-round pick out of the deal as well. And I'm not going to be critical on Seth, but if he didn't want to be here, you know what, you got to make that decision and move him. So for Kyle, in a tough situation in a short time, to make that deal, to get Spencer Knight, and now put themselves in a good position moving forward, boy, well done for Kyle and the Blackhawks, and what a performance by the youngster to come in here. And how much confidence, as John was saying, you know, to come in here and have the pressure on him. He knows, you know, everybody's looking at him, and to say, you know, I want to start. You know, what do you want to do? You want to, you know, break into it slowly? You want to have a couple practices? No, I want to play. And so they put him in net, and what a performance.
That's really what impressed me the most. You can hear in his voice, in the tone, after the trade happened on Saturday night, he said he was shocked that it happened. He said, I didn't know what to think. And so for him to fly to Chicago the next night, then participate in the morning skate, and the Blackhawks said, what would you like to do? He said, I just want to play. I think that's going to earn a lot of stripes inside that locker room of him wanting to get right in there, help his team stack wins right out of the gate and not just kind of ease things. Like he's a competitor.
Yeah, he is. And, one of the interesting things as you move towards this trade deadline is, you know, can now you've got a crowded crease with three guys. And you've got, Brossoit, who I don't know. I haven't met him yet this year. He's been with the team all year. And they're going to break him in. It's nothing to force him into anything that he needs to do before he's 100% sure of his surgery and how, he needs to recover. It just hasn't gone the way that the Hawks would hope it has. But now you've got three guys, and if you go past the trade deadline and nothing happens, you've got to figure out a rotation. And you've got to try and keep everybody happy, and that's impossible when you're playing three goaltenders. So, you know, things are going to pan out on his own. You know, which goaltender's hot, which goaltender's not playing well is going to dictate as you move forward if there is three goaltenders. If not, you know, then you get back down to a number where you've got, you know, two guys and whatever you do as far as ice time. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens up towards the trade deadline, and then if nothing happens in the crease area, what are you going to do as far as handling the duties of three goalies who are excellent?
The other exciting part, we were talking a little bit about this in the pregame show, is the Hawks feel they might be getting a potential bona fide number one starter in Spencer Knight, but the way that Arvid Soderblom is playing as well gives Blackhawks fans an exciting thought of a combo of a 1A, 1B combo for many years to come in two young goaltenders that Arvid is playing well, and Spencer now gets the opportunity to really showcase what he can do as the number one.
Yeah, and then that's, you know, it's great that Soderblom has had the bounce back season, because after last year, I think everybody was kind of like, well, what do we have here? You know, do we have a legitimate guy that can play in the NHL? Do we have a guy that was hot and now just doesn't have it? But this year, Soderblom has certainly shown that he is an NHL goaltender. You know, Peter Mrazek, he's had a couple off games here, but, you know, he's been a rock since he's been here. And without him, half of these games over the last couple seasons would have been way out of hand. So give him a lot of credit. He's still the veteran guy, and he's 33 years of age. He's got a lot left to prove. And, you know, if it's not here in Chicago, then, you know, he's certainly going to help some team in whatever capacity is moving forward. He's a great guy, and you know, all indications are that, you know, all the goaltenders are on board with bringing in Spencer Knight and involving him in the mix. So we'll see what happens here, but you know, with Soderblom's performance this year, certainly bodes well for the future. And, you know, Peter Mrazek, as much as he's done for this team the last several seasons, you know, he is not a part of what's going to happen here in the next few years with all these young guys that are going to be brought in and fused into the organization at one point or another. But you've got a solid goaltending position here now, and the opportunity for Spencer Knight, which wasn't there with Bobrovsky, is certainly going to be here with the Blackhawks. You don't want to have 42 shots a night on Spencer Knight.
Yeah.
because it's not going to bode well for any goaltender. So they've got to tighten it up defensively. But if you look at their roster on the blue line there, they got four guys in the lineup. They're 23 and under on the blue line. So a lot of youth back there. They make mistakes, but they compete. It's a learning curve. And, you know, I think everybody is excited what Spencer Knight can bring to the table now and in the future.
We talked to Teuvo Teravainen just a little bit ago. His line with Ryan Donato, Ilya Mikheyev, they have easily been the standout line over the last few games for Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at it, you know, Donato's been playing wing, been playing center, fourth line sometimes. He's just a guy that keeps going hard, and he complements basically everybody he plays, because he plays the right ways. Straight lines, north-south, chips pucks in, battles hard, goes to the front of the net, he's not afraid to shoot the puck. He's been excellent, and I've really been impressed with Mikheyev here the last little while. And, you know, you look at this team, and it's been a tough season, obviously. And if you look at some of the numbers in the plus-minus situation, Mikheyev, as much as he has played, he's the only guy who has played all season long, that's a plus. And that's not because he's playing a few minutes. It's not because he's playing against other teams' weaker lines. He's legitimately good in all areas, and his skating is top-notch. His shot is excellent. And he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. And Teuvo was just a veteran guy out there. You know, he's not a physical guy, but he knows the game. He thinks the game, and he's in the right positions, and he defends properly. And, you know, he's on the penalty kill. If need be, he can jump into the face-off circle. So, you know, Teuvo has been a great compliment with Donato and Mikheyev. And you heard him. He said, you know, it was Foligno before that. And really the kind of the cornerstones of Teravainen and Mikheyev playing the wings with some of the centers that have rotated a little bit. Those guys have been fantastic.
Ryan Donato gets an empty net goal, an assist. He's got 16 points in 10 games. It just feels like every game that he plays and he's producing, it's more and more likely that he's going to be moved prior to Friday's trade deadline. And you brought up a great point. If he's maximizing his opportunity where the Chicago is just going to get a lot of calls on Donato, there could be an opportunity where the Blackhawks say, we'll move you ahead of this deadline, but if you're interested in coming back and re-signing here, it could be a win-win for both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I know Ryan loves Chicago and he loves the Blackhawks. And it would be, you know, bittersweet for him to move on. But if he goes on, he's certainly going to be traded to a contender, a team that's going to, you know, be in the postseason. But there always is that opportunity. They have a great relationship, the management group with Ryan. They've been very upfront that they've been taking calls. And, you know, they don't have to make a deal, but if it makes sense to make a deal to improve the future of this team, you know, you have to look out for the best for the organization. But also, yeah, you have that opportunity to say, hey, listen, you know, we'll move you now and we'll maximize our return just because of the way that you've played. But we still want you to be a part of this team. And if you want to come back this summer, if that's an option that you're looking at, we certainly will, you know, circle around and get to that point. The one thing is, you know, for Donato, and he's 28 years of age, so he's young, but he's experienced. He's having a career year. The problem is like, where do you slot him moving forward?
Right.
I mean, you know, he basically was penciled in as a fourth line player at the beginning of the season. Well, just because of the way that he's worked, he's proven that he gets the ice time that's out there that he's getting on a daily basis and game to game, and that's impressive in itself. That, you know, he doesn't care whether he's playing the fourth line. This is the type of guy that he is. He doesn't care if he's playing the fourth line or the, you know, third line. Doesn't care if he's playing left wing, right wing, center. He can do it all, and that's really another big part of what would make him attractive to a team. It's like, well, we can put him in any situation. If there's an injury, we can move him up. If not, we've got a depth team, and we need some of those players that can be the third line, fourth line, grinding type of guys in a playoff. And I think that he would excel in the playoff situations the way that he plays the game. So it's going to be real interesting how everything plays out. You know, I don't think it's going to be any surprise, and I think that they've talked, I know that they've talked to Ryan about, you know, what's going on here, and obviously he's understands the situation. But, you know, good for him, because he himself has put himself into this position where teams are calling and they want Ryan Donato.
He's got 18 even strength goals this season. It's tied for 22nd in the entire NHL. I mean, there are a lot of guys. Like, I think, I want to say, like, it's okay, so I'm looking at the list that's below him. Alex DeBrincat, Sam Reinhart, Artemi Panarin, Jason Robertson, Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews. I mean, these are, I mean, Matthews missed time with an injury, but
that's not updated. It's 19 now.
So is it 19 now?
19 even strength
okay,
goals.
So 19 would be, it's tied for 19th now. So he's now tied with Braden Point. I mean, these are...
And Braden Point is making what?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, how much money is he making? He's making a ton of money. He's one of the best players in the game. And, you know, for Donato, and, you know, again, you give credit to him, because he's a low-maintenance guy. Trainers love him.
Yeah.
Doesn't ask for much. He comes in early and he prepares himself. He's one of the first guys onto the ice. You know, he loves coming down to the rink. And just he's got a great attitude. He's got a lot of faith, you know, in his life, and he believes in that, and he believes that you know, what he does is a reflection of the way that he lives his life, and he's got a great attitude. He's got a smile on his face, and he works hard. He competes. He doesn't say a word. If you put him down to the fourth line again, he's like, okay, you want me to play fourth line center? That's fine. I'll do it. I'm in.
All right, last thing for you. Can you explain something to me?
No.
All right. That is going to do it. No. All right, the LA Kings.
Was there happy music, by the way?
It was Sweet Home Chicago. They were doing an Oregon Sweet Home Chicago. Okay. I forgot. But
we went straight to Tanner Vinen.
We couldn't acknowledge the music. The LA Kings, 19-3-3 at home, plus 29 goal differential at home. On the road, 12-17-5, minus 20 goal differential on the road. How does that happen? That's such a wide disparity. So basically a 49 goal differential, home, road, the difference. Do you have any idea?
Look at the time.
You don't have a watch on?
Oh, okay.
Well, oh, it's on my other arm.
Hey, look at the time. It's time to. I can't explain it. I mean, they've only lost three games at home in regulation.
That's wild.
All season long. That's by far the best mark. And I don't know why the difference would be so large. This is a good hockey team. The one thing I will say about the LA Kings, it's a grizzled veteran team. You got Doughty on the blue line. You got Kopitar, up front, and you got some veteran players. It's certainly not a young team like the Blackhawks are. And there's the one thing I think they lack is in some areas is like the team speed.
Yeah.
Some of their key guys are moving on in age, and Drew Doughty, who's still averaging about 25 minutes per game. He's not as fast as he used to be, and his legs aren't there, and Kopitar is, in some ways, is the same way. But, to explain why the home and road record, you would think the LA Kings would have a really good road record because they are experienced, and they do play a road type of style of hockey, but, there is no explanation in my mind of how the discrepancy can be so large.
All right, now you're good to go. You can check the time. It is time to send Troy Murray away.
Now sad music. Cue the sad music.
Now it's just no music. We're shutting down this place. All right, we got post-game sound rolling in. Spencer Knight, Connor Murphy, Colton Dock, all three of them spoke to the media. We'll hear what they had to say on the other side.
I did like Colton Dock's game. He had another five hits in this game.
Some
big hits and a real nice play to set up Athanasiu for his first goal of the season. So, you love what you're seeing. Kaiser, Del Mastro, Krivoryk comes in. He doesn't look out of place. Now Vlasic is one of the mainstays on the blue line. You get Connor Bedard heading in the right direction, you got something.
I think one of those hits, too, from Colton Dock was on Drew Doughty. Like, it was a big one in this corner, I think it was. So, it's been a well-rounded effort. Oddly enough, the Hawks are doing this without any sort of production from Connor Bedard. Unfortunately for him, he had three shot attempts, and all three of those came in the first period.
So. Yeah, and his best chance, obviously, was a giveaway. By Quentin Byfield.
And he still does not have one.
Still did not have one.
They gave him one, but that probably came later
on. Well, it was later on. But, you look at Connor, and I think he's frustrated, but I really like the fact that just because he's not producing right now, as John said, he's focusing on some other parts of his game, that need to improve. And those areas are getting better. He's going to get out of this. There's no question about that. He almost looks like a little bit worn down in some ways, but the group around him is supporting him, and I really like what they have there. But they're not waiting for him, to do everything. The veteran players and some of these other young guys, they got to worry about themselves. And you look at Slagard, you look at Nazar, Colton Dock coming up. These guys are really filling a nice role for this team. In the absence of points from Connor, and you're gonna get him, and I don't know if he's gone through something like this, his entire career basically, the way that it's kind of happened, just not getting the chances. 11 shots here in the last six games coming out of the break. That's not Connor Bedard-ish like, and he'll break out of that sooner or later. And when he does, this team is going to be, if they continue to do what they've been doing here with the other lines. Really like what I'm seeing.
All right, have to get to a break.
I know. Now you got to kick me out of here because
Blackhawks postgame show is going to roll on right after this on 720 WGN.
Spun the puck down behind the net. Ends up in the right wing corner. Poked out to the line to Martinez by Bertuzzi. Martinez, long shot. He scores! Alec Martinez let it rip from the right point. There was a good screen in front of Darcy Kuemper. And the Hawks draw first blood on the LA Kings. It's 1-0 Hawks. The goal at 10:57 of period number one.
We are back here on the Blackhawks postgame show. That was Alec Martinez scoring the first goal of the game, kicking things off. A five-goal night for Chicago, two of them by defensemen Martinez and Ethan Del Mastro. That's now 21 goals by a defenseman in 35 games under Anders Sorensen. The Hawks had only five goals from defensemen in 26 games under Luke Richardson. So the contributions continue from the back end over the last last 35 games here for Chicago, but specifically on the last few games with Ethan scoring in Vegas as well, and then Martinez and Del Mastro again tonight. We got to get to the number one star, Spencer Knight, 41 save performance. Let's hear what he had to say about his 5-1 win in his Chicago Blackhawks debut.
So how'd that feel?
It's good. I'm glad I got to get the win with the guys. It's a team effort, team win. Everyone battled, block shots, big goals, and that's what's going to take. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I know you can't control how many shots you see early.
No.
But, did that help you settle in to a situation that obviously...
Yeah, I guess. I try to be able to play, and one thing I try to build is be able to play in every single kind of situation, whether it's lost shots, no shots, because that's what's going to take to win in the end. Not every game's going to be the same, and you're not going to be the star every night. And you gotta learn how to impact the game even when you're not feeling good.
What did you see on the Kopitar goal and how that played out?
Yeah, that line's incredible. I think I played against them a few times, and they just got a good blend of skill, size, quickness, and he's got a quick release. And I don't know how many games he's played, but he's a tremendous player. So playing against those guys is fun because it's always a challenge. So
what was it like to play in this building?
Awesome. I don't know what else to say. It's just awesome. It's like, I played 8 years with the Panthers. It's cool. Like, it's like no way, right? But play here, it's like, that's pretty sad.
You're wearing the Panthers pads tonight.
Yeah, I think I did that helmet too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, it's not like the colors are. They're somewhat fine. Like the pads aren't like some random color, So orange or something. But no, it's good. I think it's the gear's coming soon, I think.
Hopefully. How do you get rid of that gear, though, after the way you played tonight?
I don't care. It's just new gear. Keep going. Yeah.
Is it nice to get this one done, and now you can, next couple days, just kind of get settled in as much as you possibly can?
Yep. Yeah, I said that no matter how smoothly things go, the first week or so is going to feel like chaos. That's just the way it is. But I think I've learned to embrace that. I've been through a lot of different difficult challenges in my life, and this is another step in the journey. And I think I'm looking to bring what I witnessed and was a part of in Florida and bring that here, because I said I don't care if we're in first place or last place or anywhere in between. We're coming to the rink and playing to win every night, and that's our motto. That's my motto, at least, going forward. I'm here to build a championship-winning team, whether that's, a year, 2 years, five, I don't know. But that's what we're working towards.
With only a morning skate under your belt, how important was it to communicate, and how much talking were you doing on the ice with the guys?
Yeah, I try to talk. Even if they don't even hear me or whatever, I just like to talk, because that's, like I said, it gets you at the game. So I have learned that through having games where I have like two shots in a period, and you gotta find ways to stay in it. And sometimes talking helps.
Did you lose a skate play there at the end?
I did. It's the second time that's happened in it's last two games, actually. It's weird. I got to figure that out. We got to get new skates or something.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, about that third period, was that the most they tested you?
Yeah, the first period was good. They tested you. And third period, they had a good push. You could always explain. It doesn't matter if you're up 1, 2, 3, or 4. This league is too good, and the players are too talented for you to relax. And, I think we anticipate that. And, gosh, the D and the forwards did a great job at just packing it in and, playing tight and playing together.
That was Blackhawks goaltender Spencer Knight. A 41-save performance and a victory in his debut. Number one star of the game. That was a funny moment when he lost his skate blade. I think there was a collective gasp at the United Center when you saw the official and Connor Murphy, it was Connor Murphy, that were kind of like helping him to the Chicago bench. I think originally people didn't understand what just happened, and they thought he had gotten injured, but it was actually the skate blade that popped out. Weird, second time in the last two games. And so, good to see him. Good to see the performance that he had. He faced 17 shots in the first period, 9 in the second, 16 in the third. So he was sharp early on, and he was sharp all night. Connor Murphy, one of those guys that has been taken on a larger responsibility in the minutes department with the Seth Jones subtraction of the roster. He spoke to the media earlier today. It was a +2 rating on the night. Let's hear what he had to say about the 5-1 win.
We didn't make it easy on him. We gave him it was a good thing he was warm going into that game, because that start, we gave him 2-on-0s and backdoor plays and everything, and he stood tall. And you could tell he was really determined, and it's not easy to be that focused in a new environment.
What was happening with you guys in the first period? Where were you able to kind of get back on the same page?
The easy excuse is to say off a long road trip when you're not feeling as dialed in, I guess. It's easy to have that crutch, but we're just super sloppy, and that's where it's huge that he played like that in the first, because he easily could have been down a few goals, myself included, was just chopping it around. So it's nice that that happened. We were able to settle in. I thought we had a great second period, and then we're kind of able to just ride it out.
The second period, you guys are a lot more connected in the offensive zone and getting the defensemen involved. What do you see that kind of allow that?
I think it starts with the entries in the zone. We're able to come either as a unit or come with speed, and when we get our dump-ins or cross into their blue line to get into their zone, we're able to read off each other and get rim pucks and keep it alive to each other, and even get changes. And once you're able to change them in those zone, that's when the momentum shifts your way, because you have more energy and legs, and our forwards are able to hold on to it, and they're able to get their chances, and that's really why we got their goals.
It's the first back-to-back win since mid-December. What is the name for this team?
Winning, yeah, it's all about winning. I mean, we've got to win games and learn how to win, and some of them can be nicer than others. Tonight, it wasn't a complete game by us, but sometimes you rely on your goalie, and that's what we did, and it feels good to do that. And we have a lot of road trips kind of sandwiched around these home games, so we got to make sure that we're good at home, and with a tough time of year with the trade deadline, a little more emotion involved, got to be able to push stuff aside and play and be a good pro and get wins here.
Got another goal from Del Mastro tonight. How have you seen him get more comfortable the more ice time it seems like he gets?
Yeah, he's got great patience with it. I don't think he panics too much with it, and it's not easy stepping in with NHL speed and being able to hold on to pucks in the neutral zone, and you see him enter in and he's able to hold on and survey what his best option is. So he got a good bounce on that goal, and it's really a tribute to just him holding it and knowing the play and where the routes are to go and where bodies are to throw the puck to have a better chance of scoring. So he's fun to play with, because I know I can slide it to him, and he has good awareness to keep the offense going.
That Donato shot, the first one, hit both posts. Yeah. Somebody called it double doing. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I almost saw in their empty netter when he went posted in on that one too. I was waiting for someone to stop the play, because it felt like that one, even that went post, middle post, I think. But he rips it hard, and he's got that almost that slingshot when he whips it. And it was hard to see. It was in and out so fast. I think everyone's convinced that it was in the net. But he's been able to find holes by goalies this year, and it's been impressive to watch.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Connor Murphy. A big 5-1 victory over the LA Kings for the Blackhawks as they kick off a 3-game homestand. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game, which is coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Kopitar recovers along the right boards, gave it a Kempe high slot, wrist shot. That was blocked on the way in by Fogel. Puck cleared away by Vlasic. Not out. A long shot from the right point by Kempe. Gobbled up by Spencer Knight. He's down in the butterfly position. Makes the save and holds on. And a whistle will stop play.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/PoweringBiz. One of 41 saves by Spencer Knight. It's funny, I tweeted this out after the first period, but in his last start for the Florida Panthers, Spencer Knight faced 18 shots total in the game, and he stopped 17 of them in the win. In the first period alone in this game, Spencer Knight faced 17 shots, and he stopped 16 of them. The expected goals for the LA Kings in this game was 3.52. Their actual goals, 1, which means Spencer Knight saved 2.52 goals above expected. So he was terrific in this one. Colton Dock was also terrific in this one. He had led the team with 5 hits. He spoke to the media just a little bit ago. Let's listen in.
Hey, he's awesome. That was one of the best debuts I've ever seen. So, hopefully we can help him out a little bit more and not give up as many shots against. But, he was unbelievable tonight.
How much did that, or I should say, maybe let me rephrase that, did that help you guys opening the second period for him to have been as calm that he was in the first and give you guys some time to regroup?
100%. I think the biggest thing I noticed was his puck playing ability. And, you know, he was hitting the tape. He was making plays, you know, under pressure, and he was really calm back there. So just you know, awesome to see someone come in like that and have an effect on the team.
Seems like you showed a lot of anticipation on Anthony Seu's goal, intercepting that pass and then finding him in the slot.
Yeah, I think we had a play, and, you know, he kind of just told me to get a pick and go from there. And, you know, as soon as I saw the puck drop, just try to anticipate. You know, if it was a loss, he was probably going to the weak side. So try to get a stick on it, and, you know, he did a good job of finding open area.
It looked like that game got increasingly physical as it went on and the lead grew. Is that something that helps kind of you pick your game up and intensify as it gets a little more physical on the ice?
100%. I didn't really like my first period, so, you know, second and third, I try to be as physical as I can be, and I think that helps me be engaged and become a consistent player, and I know what I need to do to get a regular shift, and that's, you know, that's part of my game I need to bring.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Colton Dock. Picked up a primary assist on Andreas Athanasiou's first goal and point of the NHL season. We have one more break to get to, and then we're going to hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen to wrap things up on the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, the LA Kings outshot Chicago 42-19 in this game, but it was the Blackhawks that, in the most important column, it was the goal column, 5 goals to LA's 1 in this game, and it was all because of Spencer Knight, who was the number one star of this game in his Chicago Blackhawks debut. I imagine Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen had a lot of praise for him after the game. Let's hear what he had to say about this 5-1 win for Chicago.
Well, Spencer Knight was saying this morning that he was ready to play, and you see that first period.
Yeah.
Along with the saves, but how much of a calming influence was he through that first period for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good. I mean, his just calm is probably the word, right? He just looked so composed back there. He's so tight down low. And, you know, I thought he made some great puck plays, right? So I thought, yeah, big part of it, obviously.
How much poise does that take as a human being to go traded Saturday night, here Monday, and you face 17 shots in the first period?
Probably a better question for him than for me. I've never done that. No, I mean, it's obviously a circumstance, right? There's a lot going on, right? And to be a young kid like he is, 23, right? So to go, you know, I thought obviously the first time he got traded, and I thought he was really showed some resilience and just, yeah, so composed. Yeah.
Where did you see the breakdowns in the first and what changed in the second?
You know what? I thought the puck was bouncing all over on us a couple of times. I thought our exits, we weren't clean enough coming out of our own zone. And obviously, I thought the other thing is we turned a lot of pucks over between like the blue line and top of the circle in their area, in their zone, right? So we couldn't get it behind their D either by sliding it behind their D or driving our feet to get low enough, and that's where it kind of hurt us.
What you see in particular on the Kopitar goal, you know, I'm thinking of Reichel's pass that was intercepted, and then, you know, who did you want to pick up Kopitar in the neutral zone?
Yeah, it was, I think it's, you know, it's a squeeze play for our D. We got stuck a little bit in between, and we couldn't get there with our second D.
You got another goal from Ethan Del Mastro tonight. How have you seen his game progress in recent weeks?
Yeah, really good. I think I've said it before, like he wants to make a play when the puck's on his stick. So he's doing a lot of good things with that. And even defensively, you know, he's closes out. He's a big frame and, you know, kills a lot of plays defensively, which is huge.
To have a two-game winning streak, what's that mean for this group? It's kind of struggled since, you know, maybe mid-December or so.
Positive, obviously, right? I thought, you know, before the break, we were getting points, but we weren't getting wins. And then and now we get, you know, obviously started to break a little slow in terms of wins and losses. And then now these two wins were, I think, you know, like I said, Anaheim was probably our best 60 minutes complete. Today, we first period wasn't where we wanted to be. I thought the second period, we were really good. It was probably our best period in a while here. And then the third, we got on our heels a little bit. But they made a push, and it's a good team coming at you. And wish we could have done a little bit better job in handling some of that. But I thought in terms of confidence, I think it should, you know, grow from this for sure.
All right, that was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen talking about this 5-1 win for the Chicago Blackhawks. By the way, Connor Bedard, his point drought is now at 6 games. It's unfortunate because I feel like the last two games have been really nice wins against Anaheim and LA, especially after all the you know, the Seth Jones trade, the off-ice distractions. And so I feel like Connor is probably starting to get a little antsy, but I thought he was really good in the first period, but unfortunately wasn't able to produce much after that or generate many chances. But there's always another game against the Ottawa Senators, and that leads us to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. It's going to be a 6:30 puck drop on Wednesday at the United Center as the Blackhawks game two of the three-game homestand. The Ottawa Senators snapped a five-game losing skid on Saturday with a 5-3 win over the San Jose Sharks. They were outscored 23-8 during the losing streak. Unfortunately for them, they weren't able to capitalize on that tonight. They lost 5-4 in a shootout to Washington. Ottawa's been a weird team. They are one of the best defensive teams in the entire NHL, especially at 5-on-5. But going into tonight, they ranked 31st in even strength goals with 111. Calgary is 32nd at 110. So they were one away from the being in the NHL's cellar in even strength goals. They have their 10th in power play percentage at 23.3 going into tonight. So that is they've really struggled to score some goals when they're not on the man advantage. A couple guys that have had some really nice years. Tim Stützle, he extended his point streak to 12 games with two assists in the game today. And then Jake Sanderson had three assists in the game today for the Ottawa Senators. Sanderson, I thought he stepped up really nicely for Team USA in the Four Nations tournament as well. And then speaking of Four Nations, Brady Tkachuk, he returned to the lineup a couple games ago after missing a few games with an injury. He was unbelievable in the Four Nations as well. So got to keep your head up when that guy's on the ice. He had a really nice fight with Tom Wilson in this game today. So Hawks, Ottawa Senators, 6:30 puck drop on Monday here at the UC. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That'll do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, as always, Jack Heinrich, and our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Brendan Rook. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang, and our captain, Krista Flores, back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 5-1 Blackhawks win over the LA Kings. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday night from the UC.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com, and through your smartphone with the WGN app.